When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Spurs Show Live, the first of a series of intimate Spurs shows for holders of the Spurs Show season ticket, which you can get at season.spursshow.net. Gets you and a guest in for free. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We have, for those of you at home, we have three guests. We're here live at the Albany in Great Portland Street. David Harris, Paul Coit and Hunter Davis. On the this first show, we'll go out early in the week, and the second show, specifically talking about the wonderful Glory game, will come out later on this week. But firstly, we've got lots to talk, lots, because there was no show last week because of that really annoying international break, which always comes in far too early in the season. So firstly, just to remind you, this season we are backed by Ladbrokes, who are giving us, all listeners, a free bet. Deposit £5 and get a £20 free bet. All you've got to do is go to bet.spurshow.net. Gentlemen, right, let's talk about... we'll talk about the game. It was Saturday, wasn't it? I've no idea what day it is. But it was my birthday on Saturday.
It's because of your birthday, isn't it?
I'm completely thrown.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am.
It's Mike's 50th birthday, yeah. By the way. Can we have a round of applause for Mike? Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The oldest one on the panel. Just about, Hunter. Just about.
I know. But let's talk about Saturday first, because, I mean, it was a game that I think most Spurs fans would have thought, got score draw of it all over again, like it did last season. We were sort of
But Paul, we
battered them.
We absolutely battered them. It was going back to the end of last season again, which is what, you know, we really wanted at the end of last season, thinking, you know, why does the season end now? This is now we're finally getting going. Then at the start, a little bit worried, and I'll be honest with you, being a true Spurs fan, I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to be a disaster for us at Goodison. But it was magnificent. I thought they were absolutely fantastic, and it reignites my excitement again for the rest of the season.
David, there was a stat I read today. If you take the last two games away from home of last season, and the first two this season, we have the best away aggregate over four games away since 1892.
Would you run that by me one more time?
If you take the aggregate scores...
I remember it well.
And a train leaves Boston at 3 o'clock, and the other one comes in...
I don't know who looks these things up, but there's always someone on Twitter or Facebook that comes out with these unbelievable stats. I mean, we're flying away from home, aren't we, David? I mean...
We are. I mean, even Sissoko had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
You know, wonders will never cease. I think it also showed that the importance of Eriksen is to the team. I think he's the real creative hub of that team. And playing in that floating role of Ali, Kane as well, moving around the pitch. The Everton defenders couldn't control it, couldn't handle it. And, you know, away from home, we looked really good.
I mean, Hunter, I mean, you saw the highlights.
Do you think he's as good as Modric, Eriksen? Similar build, similar flair, similar weight, similar hairstyle.
The hair is different,
Hunter. Apart from that.
I think Modric is marginally better. But Eriksen is brilliant, isn't he?
He is fantastic. There was a time, wasn't there? I think at this time last season...
He started poorly.
It was like... he's getting better every season. Well, so he is improving, isn't he? I think he is a fantastic
player. The thing about him was, when he first came from Denmark, he was the star player, and there were two or three seasons when people said, he's going to be bought, Spurs are buying, and people didn't buy him. And I thought, there's something wrong with him. People behind the scenes know there's a flaw. Otherwise, you'd be here already. So when he came, I was in two minds, but he's been brilliant. The Everton game, I didn't see it live. I saw it on the telly, a match of the day. And it wasn't until the final whistle blew, I thought, bloody hell, what's Wayne playing?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't mentioned.
He's had a busy week.
Drinks while he's driving was a great chant.
And then I
thought,
but the next day I heard that the crowd, the Spurs crowd, were singing. Mm. What were they singing?
Only drink when you're driving.
Yeah, only drink, which is funny. You know, I ghosted Wayne Rooney's autobiography.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was he a nice chap?
And it was, do you want to hear that story now?
Yes, later. Why not? Now you mentioned you ghostwrote Rooney's book, why not?
I do a column in the New Statesman and have on football, and I have done every week in the football season for 20 years. And about 8 years ago, there was a piece in the newspaper saying Wayne Rooney's biography has been bought by HarperCollins for £5 million over the rest of his lifetime. So there'll be five biographies, autobiographies, by Wayne, lasting his whole career. And I did my column on the Friday saying, taking the piss out of him, how stupid. Shakespeare at 19, nobody was doing his biography. Mozart at 21, knowing, why would a lad of 19... be up to having a biography, not just one, but loads. On Monday morning, I got a call from HarperCollins asking me, telling me, you're on the shortlist to ghost Wayne's biography. Would you like to meet him? And I said, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic idea, long overdue. So I went to HarperCollins' posh offices in Hammersmith, and I went into the boardroom, and there was Paul, how's your father? Paul Stretford, his manager. The lawyer was there. His accountant was there. A woman in a suit was there, who's his brand manager. And there's a goon, 6'5", at the door in a suit. And that was his personal ex-superintendent of Scotland Yard, bodyguard. And Wayne eventually came with his hoodie and his tracky bottoms. And I said, if I got the job, this is how I would do the book. You've got to be totally honest with me. You mustn't lie, because it gets so complicated. I have to be have to have 8 months with you, and I'll have to spend at least 3 hours with you once a month. And I would like to... Have you got any memorabilia? And he said, what's memorabilia? So I explained what that was. And I had a fascinating 8 months with him. And I went to see his mum. He's at Man United, and his mother's in a posh house, but she's still working, and she comes home from work in her uniform, which is sort of yellow top and a black tunic. Right, what was her job? Quick, what was her job, Paul?
I've no idea.
She was a dinner lady.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, and she kept being a dinner lady, even though Wayne was earning millions at Man United.
Yeah.
I have done the Beatles biography, and asked them the same thing. Have you got memorabilia? Have you got school reports? And only Ringo's mother could find a school report, which is ironic because Ringo never went to school. He was always poorly and ill, and the other ones couldn't find anything. When I did Gaza, his mother said, oh, I think I might have a swimming certificate that Paul won aged 8. I said, gold dust.
Yeah.
And I pushed up in the loft and we never found it. But Mrs. Rooney came with, when I went to see her, she had two piles in chronological order. One was every letter from this Everton Academy to Wayne from the age of 8 onwards. Now, you're all football fans, and you must know by now that academies are totally secretive. You don't know who works there, you don't know what their system is or their training, and you don't know the names of the children who are playing there, because somebody will nick them, especially Chelsea. So having all this inside information was fascinating. The other pile was a load of his school reports from the age of 4 at nursery school. The book was totally rubbish, but the memorabilia was boring. And the book sold, this is meaningless unless you're in the media, the book sold 40,000 in hardback. And the man who was head of HarperCollins sports department got the push. When I did Gaza's autobiography, and he sold 10 times as many in 6 months, 400,000 in hardback. Wow. And the reason why Gaza is still alive and well, roughly today, is the income from that book.
Is that right?
Anyway, so I watched the telly. I thought, where the hell is Wayne?
Yeah.
So he obviously wasn't really there.
The highlight, for the highlights, I don't think you saw him once on the highlights. Whether that's because of the whole drink driving, personal problems, I don't know. But
no, it was Spurs dominated totally. Actually, I was disappointed by Spurs. They missed so many goals, it should have been 8-0. And that's vital because Harry's been missing chances all August.
Yeah, yeah.
And if only one had gone in, and he had chances against Burnley and Chelsea. But he had twice as many, but now he's hitting the goal, which is good.
Let's talk about Harry, because obviously he was scored his 100th goal for Tottenham, 17th player in the history of Tottenham. Is that correct? 17th player? I'm looking out of the audience here. 17th player to score 100 goals for Tottenham.
Did you read the list?
Yes.
I read the list of all the people that have scored over 100 goals, and I think I'm a football expert. I think I'm a Spurs fan. And two or three names were totally meaningless because they never gave you the date. And I thought it must have been 1880s, some of them. Somebody called Morris, did you take it? Did you read the list, Paul?
I haven't seen the list.
Yeah. I just saw the recent players. It was, Hoddle, Defoe, Keane,
obviously,
Sheringham. Obviously, Chivers is there.
Jimmy Greaves is top, isn't he? Yeah. Then it's... who is it? Bobby Smith, I think, is next.
Yes,
Then Sheringham is on the list Jermaine Defoe is. And Martin Chivers, of course, is third.
Yeah.
Robbie King.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think early players.
There's quite a few ahead of Harry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's
only young.
He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, when Harry broke through, did you honestly think this guy is going to turn into this superstar now?
No.
No one
but
did.
But the crowd, the fans, were supporting him and shouting for him before Mauricio really realised, I think.
Mm.
I think the fans were ahead of the game. We were shouting...
I don't know.
I've got the top 10 list here. Greaves, Smith, Chivers, Cliff Jones. Oh, no, you give me the wrong stats.
Cliff is four,
here.
Yeah. Cliff is four.
Appearances. Anyway, top score. Doesn't matter. No, it's fine. It's fine. George Hunt was the one I was thinking of.
That was the one I can't remember.
Hunt.
It's like Alan Freeman is alive again, isn't it, really?
Hunt was in the 30s. It was a 30s player. The Duke, Len Dukeman. We didn't know he scored 100.
Yeah.
Gilly.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Gilly later in your book.
Yeah.
And Sheringham Keane, the top 10. There we are. Thank
but you. When Kane broke through, I mean, he had Soldado and Adebayor for the other two strikers at the club at the time. And when he broke through, to be honest, he reminded me of Mark Falco.
Yes, I totally agree.
That's a very good comparison.
Local boy.
Physically. That's right. And we were spoiled in those days of, Archibald Crooks and Hoddle and Waddle. That, if we beat Everton 5-3, Falco was always the one who scored the goal when he was sitting on his arse 6 yards out.
Always fell over.
Apart from that spectacular volley against Arsenal.
Yes, 5-0. Yeah.
So he reminded me of him. But Kane has gone on to be, absolutely, he's defied all our expectations. And let's hope he gets to 200 as quick as possible.
I didn't think he'd be as consistent as he has been.
No one did.
I didn't think he had it in him.
I mean, he's got faster because, one thing about him, you sort of go, maybe a bit of a 6 foot, but he's getting quicker.
He's definitely getting quicker. The thing I do know about Harry Kane...
Tell us, Paul.
Is he courting? He actually needs a book hunter if you're interested.
Right.
He is a total professional. And I spoke to at the end of the summer, and I was speaking to his mum. And it's always, I'm sure you find the same, it's always interesting to speak to the parents and what you can learn from that. And I said, look, I just want to say, of all the people that I've seen come and go at Spurs, Harry still seems the same person. And I have seen them. You see the difference in them. They first get... They're very nice, and then they get their first taste of stardom. It doesn't matter what business you're in, does it? You see that, and then it all levels out, and then they're okay again. Whereas Harry has stayed the same. And she said, "Well, I'll be honest with you. People would call him boring because he stays in, he doesn't go out, he works very hard, he makes sure he gets the right seat, and he's a total 100% professional and dedicated to what he does, which obviously keeps him on the right track, and he's always going to go in the right
direction."
It's
what all managers want.
Yeah, of course it is. It's the manager's dream.
It's what the lie awake praying for.
There was an interview there was an article about him a couple of weeks ago, and I presume they sat down with him, because, you know, they're saying not only was he looking at, you know, getting the 100 goals at Spurs, he's always looking ahead at what Messi and Ronaldo have scored and where he is in terms of those kind of players.
How do you explain him not scoring in August?
It's a most bizarre thing, isn't it? I don't know. Is it? What do you think?
Is it in his head?
I don't know. It's got to be somewhere, yeah, isn't it?
It's one of those weird Spurs things. Like,
maybe it's one of
can't
these.
Can't win at Wembley.
It's like Usain Bolt doesn't start the first 20 metres of a 100 metre race, go out the blocks like that. Maybe it's the same with Harry scoring goals.
In my New Statesman column, which you never miss, which is just a funny column, I suggest August should be renamed. So Harry doesn't know. And I said Wembley Stadium should be called Neasden Central Stadium.
Yes. Yeah.
So when Spurs play there, they don't know. And that also said the England team should not be called England anymore, because once they put on the shirt, they're brilliant players for their clubs. They're rubbish and depressing. We're so fed up with it. We should call it Britannia.
There you go.
Yeah. And that will clear all their problems in their little minds.
They'll think they're playing for Stoke.
trying to bring us back to the sort of Everton again.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, it's just quite a while, Hunter. Absolutely fine. I mean, I think we all know out there that, you know, we're going to struggle at Wembley. You know, we've already dropped more points than we did last season at White Hart Lane. So our away form, which was patchy last season, is so important. And, okay, Newcastle you can't really sort of use because they're an awful side. But Everton, who spent a lot of money, and we didn't give them a sniff. Normally these sort of games, we've been to enough of them. You sort of go a goal up and a sort of miss hit thing, and then it sort of just goes wrong, or even at 2-0. It's been a Spurs fan, 2-0's never enough. But to get the third goal straight after the beginning of the second half, it's very rare as a Spurs fan you actually sit back on your seat and relax and you can enjoy 40 minutes of football, because you know you've won the game.
Why were Everton so useless?
I just don't think we gave
them a chance.
They gave
up, they lost confidence, they've got a very good manager who must have screamed at them at half time. I can't remember whether some vital players missing.
I mean, I don't think they've replaced Lukaku. I mean,
no, that's their one problem.
That's the biggest thing,
I mean, they're lacking that real pace up front. I mean, Sir Gordon, there was talk about us buying him back. I wasn't so sure about that. But he's a good player, but he hasn't got top pace. Mm. And I think without Lukaku, and they haven't adequately replaced him, then I think that's an issue for them this season.
Mm. Well, let's look. We're going to look at the because there wasn't no show last week. We look at the transfer window after this break.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
And we're back. That's what we do, you see. We rest break and we drop in something and there we go. Thanks to the adverts you heard there. Now, the transfer window, because we didn't do a show last week, was, again, we were all sort of crying out, we need a striker. I mean, but Martinez is coming, which was done before the transfer window, who made his debut at the weekend. Aurier as well was sort of talked about in the paper, and that did happen from PSG. But the biggest surprise, I don't think any Spurs fans saw this one coming, was Fernando Llorente.
Why didn't they play him against Everton?
Well, we'll come on to that in a minute. So, I think they're resting.
So you know the
answer. Game on Wednesday. Well, I don't know.
You're going to make it up.
I think they're resting. I think
you're going to guess.
You'll see him on Wednesday against Dortmund, I'm sure. But Llorente, were you pleased with the transfer window, or do you think we were still lacking something from that?
Well, I don't think Danny Rose needed to use his Google search engine to look up Llorente. So hopefully he'll be happy with that signing.
Thank you.
I think the question about the squad and the window is that have we added to the quality of the squad? So is Llorente an upgrade on Janssen? Definitely.
Yeah, well, Janssen obviously has gone.
I think my granny's an upgrade
to Fenerbahce. I mean, I know they're a Turkish team, but what are they looking at? They've sort of done the sort of Spurs greatest hits on YouTube and go, we've got to get this guy in. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I think so.
He was basically told that, because they tried to move into Brighton and
that would have been a good move, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. But he didn't want to go until he was obviously told, especially when Llorente came in, you are not even second choice now. Yeah. You're effectively fourth choice, even behind Son, when he plays, in a more forward position.
Llorente was good for Swansea, But he wasn't as good as that bloke, that Spanish one, who went, only stayed a season and disappeared. He was brilliant.
Yeah, Michu.
What was wrong with him? Why did he suddenly go?
I don't know. But I mean, Llorente's been linked with Spurs for how many years?
Yeah.
For years, Llorente was linked. I think it's an inspired signing.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, a proven Premier League goal scorer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good in the air. If you think about the fullbacks we've got whipping the ball in. And again, it hopefully will take the pressure off Kane a bit. Not obviously Kane's going to start, but you look at League Cup and certain games.
What do you think of Sanchez?
Huh?
I mean, obviously, you buy anybody called Sanchez. That's what all football managers do. He's Sanchez.
I did say Martin. Have
him. It used to be Alan. He was called Alan. We'll have him. Now it's moved on.
I was surprised that he started.
In the Everton game, it was only afterwards all the clever clogs in the papers said, what a brilliant back three. They were so solid. I was aware of him, but he didn't strike me as particularly brilliant. How about you?
Well, they took the Everton striker, he was hauled off because he didn't get a look in against him.
That's a clue.
You know, so that's a clue, really.
I spoke to someone, I went to Amsterdam for a couple of days with the family, and all right, okay.
With the family, okay. They left the hotel.
Too many biographies there, Hunter, you're looking for the story. So there I am with the kids. That makes it even worse. So went on the Ajax tour. You know, they have the tour around the stadium. And there was the tour guide who just couldn't... Because they sit there and said, right, who's your favourite team and who's your favourite team? And then they went, the Spurs. And they started talking about Tottenham and Sanchez. This woman just couldn't say enough. Said, he's our best player. This guy's amazing. Wow. What a signing. So
it cost us a lot of money, didn't it? There's obviously something.
Well, there's a lot of bad ones that cost a lot of money in the past.
So did you put your trip on expenses because it counts as research?
I think it probably does, doesn't it? Yeah. So, I think he's going to be terrific.
I think, and people will probably disagree with me, I love Wanyama, and I think in certain games against the big teams, you need him. But against the lesser teams, I think Dyer moves the ball quicker than Wanyama. Wanyama gets the ball, stops, does a 360-degree turn. It slows everything down. And I think now having this new guy from Ajax to play in those three centre-halves and to put Dyer in the middle, which we all know Dyer wants to play in that position. Yeah. The whole talk about he might go to United, wants to go United. Maybe that's appeasing him. I think the fact that he made his debut so quickly is hopefully quite telling.
I'm not a Dyer fan.
What, at all?
Not a Fab fan. I don't think he's absolutely brilliant. He's better than Phil Jones, but everybody in this room is better than Phil Jones. And yet, the managers raved about him. The England team raves about him. And I can't see his skill. Mm. I can see he's intelligent and sensible.
Well, again,
on the whole, he passes the ball well, but he's not really creative.
He's not creative, but I think he, as I said, he puts in some very important.
But we have two sensible players beside him.
Yeah.
What we need in that position is another Ericsson behind him who's really creative. I can't think of who it should be.
Well, obviously, Barkley deal didn't happen. But well done. I mean, whatever happens to Ryan Barkley, well done for turning down Chelsea. To actually go there and go, nah. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, apparently he never even met Conte, did he?
Yeah.
The Chelsea board, whatever. It was like, you want to sign me, the manager's not even here, I'm going home.
Well, Barkley tried to ring him or something and Conte didn't answer the phone or his phone was switched off.
Would you have bought Barkley? You think he would help Spurs?
Well, he's obviously injured, but I think, yes.
Would you have him in the team?
Yeah, not starting, not when Ericsson's playing.
And who
well.
Would get the push? Who would be on the bench?
Well, I think he's a sort of to push Ericsson, isn't he? I see it.
No. But if you look at the Chelsea semi-final last year, so Chelsea brought on Costa and Hazard, and the commentary around us at the time was, well, who could we bring off the bench? And I think if you look on Saturday's game, well, we had Son, who could we bring off the bench and be an impact player. So by adding to the squad now, you've got Llorente, you've got Son, you can bring them off the bench. I think that's a good thing. Barkley, I think, could be a Pochettino-type player where he transforms him into a consistent performer, and I think that they'll come back for him in January.
I think Mauricio must lie awake at night thinking, I could mould Barkley. This is the sort of challenge I like. We know for the last two or three years he's got amazing talent, and for some reason he hasn't... This happens in football all the time, every generation. These young players, for some reason, they don't move forward. Mm. His chums will have told him what the problem is, if there is a problem, but he thinks he can do it. And that's what all managers and all bosses like. They like to bring, all editors, they like to bring people forward who have not realised the potential.
And Barkley's one of those players.
And he could probably do it.
But he's, you know, an England international, so there's obviously something there to be put for England. Time will tell, we'll see what happens. Just before other bits of business, we're here this evening. A lot of people here, we've got the Spurs Show season ticket. They're here for free, part of the season ticket package. Our next live show is, well, at the moment it's October 24th, although someone, David, did mention that it could be a League Cup fixture. But October 24th, here at the Albany, we've got Bobby Davro and Paul Whitehouse. You want to get tickets, go to season.spurshow.net. Now, Wednesday, we're back. The Champions League, I can hear the music in my ears. Yeah. Gentlemen, is it going to be any better than last season?
Mike, the music.
The music.
Is it lasagna? Is that what they're singing?
I've absolutely no
I've
idea.
I've always thought that was what the words are.
It is what they're singing.
You can speak Italian.
Yeah, I can. It is lasagna. That's exactly what it is.
No, seriously, it can't be lasagna.
I think it is. No,
it's that well-known opera.
It is. Yeah.
Can you sing it now?
I can't sing it now, because
shall we all
sing
it?
No. let's not do that.
It's not. It's going to be different this year. It is going to be different this year. Absolutely.
Why is that?
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
It's very personal.
Go on.
Have you got eyesight problems and you're not going to count? Why is your script in 26 point Bodoni bold?
Look
at the size of this.
I printed up back. I don't need to wear these now, do I?
That's I am well. Twice your age. I can read the smallest
prints.
What does that suggest?
Anyway, look, we've got Dortmund on Wednesday. I was going to say glory, glory, light, White Hart Lane, but it isn't. Do you think this problem not having these Champions League games against these big teams at Wembley, do you think that's kind of, you know, a hindrance?
Hold on, what are we talking about?
Well, Wednesday,
the curse. We're not talking about the curse, are we?
I'm bringing the curse up.
You're going to bring up the curse?
I'm bringing the curse up.
Look, right, okay, my view on the curse.
Go on.
There's a curse. No, that's not the view on the curse. Right, look at the teams that we've played at Wembley have all been top class. Apart, let's leave Burnley out of this for the moment.
Okay.
Has been top class opposition. We played in the Champions League. These are good sides.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then and let's say we didn't lose them all. We forget this.
So is Spurs.
Absolutely, but they're not pushovers. The other games that we played at Wembley, they were big games as well, and they're playing, and we're playing against top sides. So it's not like there's a curse, we're never going to win. It's going to go. I don't believe in it. I honestly don't believe in it. Something will change.
Are we going to win on Wednesday?
Wednesday, absolutely. Yes! Don't say what you see with the nose growing.
One thing going forward is they've got a lot of injuries, Dortmund.
Paul, I only hope and pray that your rationale is not on the heads of the players.
Right.
You don't want the players thinking, at Wembley, we do badly against the top teams. They must never think that going into a game. They must never think we're playing a top team. They must think we're going to stuff them.
But it's not badly. I don't mean we do badly against the top teams. What I'm saying is
they lose. Isn't that bad?
Okay, all right.
But look, we're playing Borussia Dortmund, who, okay, not as good this season, but still, you know, when the Champions League draw come out, you hear them come out, and then Real Madrid, you're immediately going, oh God, where are we going to get our points?
But were you happy? You were happy with the draw?
I'd rather play on paper bigger teams than so-called smaller teams, because we always raise our game historically against the big teams.
Where's Dortmund at the moment in the Bundesliga?
Top of the Bundesliga? Yeah.
No. Are they really?
Yeah.
Well, they drew at the weekend against Freiburg. They drew 0-0 the weekend. Yeah. They got lots of players out. Reyes, we all know Marco Reyes is out. Guerrero is out. Schürrle, who played for Chelsea, is out. Durm is out. Roda is out. And then their captain, whose name is, I don't know, it's
crap.
There we are.
Bartra
is out. They've got seven players who normally start.
Mike, what colour does Borussia Dortmund play in?
Yellow.
I didn't ask you. You live in Australia. You've nothing else to do except read football reports. I've been to see Borussia Dortmund many times.
Yes.
And they're an absolutely brilliant team. And when our friend at Liverpool was running them, and every time I've seen them, the crowd Their supporters are absolutely brilliant, and they shout and they scream an hour before it starts, and they play in yellow. Mm-hmm. And the crowd and their fans shout, "We all we all live in a yellow submarine," to German words, yellow submarine.
Right.
Right. So I wrote to Sonny, who owned the rights to all Beatle copyright songs. And I've done lots of Beatles books.
Of course.
And I did a Beatles lyrics book, and they, Sonny, fucking Sonny, charged me 70,000 quid to reproduce the words of Beatles songs, which they own in the book. So I wrote to Sonny and said, "Are you going to charge every television company in the world who transmits football games in which you can clearly hear the Borussia Dortmund crowd singing to the tune of 'We All Live in a Submarine'? You are charging money for the subscription, so it's commercial. Are you going to charge them, the club, for singing a copyright song?" They never replied.
I'm about to say, but you never got a reply. Okay, lovely. We're going to win, though. You mentioned we're going to win. What do you reckon, David? I mean, you know, it's they're a good team. They're top of the Bundesliga. We're not, he's not going to rest players, is he? Like last season, the Champions League, we didn't have our strongest team. Surely not this time of the season.
So on a,
you know, we did that against Monaco, and tuned down within 20 minutes or something.
Yep. So on a personal note, this is my first ever Champions League game. I'm going to Wednesday night, living out in Australia. The last time I saw Spurs play at Wembley, unfortunately, it was the 1993 FA Cup semi-final when Donkey scored the winner.
93.
Okay. So I'm...
Sorry, remind me, 93.
It was Donkey scored the winner. So what I'm saying is that I will break the Wembley curse from Australia. Right. We're going to win 2-1, and we'll kick off the Champions League in style.
You know it's a different stadium, don't you?
And there is no curse.
There's no curse.
And there is no curse.
No.
What do you reckon, Mike?
There's something. I think the Burnley was the last game at Wembley. The Burnley
was Burnley.
The ball doesn't seem to move as quickly. I don't know if it's the grass or there's no atmosphere. You start chanting, it just disappears into the air.
Yeah.
Acoustically, it's awful. So I don't think that noise is not translating like anything like the White Hart Lane crowd did.
Sure.
It's just, Paul, you weren't responsible
really
for that drum beat.
Soulless stadium.
At the Chelsea game. That, at the Chelsea game at Wembley, they had, it sounded to me, an artificially background.
They did. They piped in a drummer,
it was
didn't they?
So
I think
drummers
there drumming live.
Everybody was going mad. It was so silly when they got the crowd with lungs. Mm. Why should you have this?
Well, it was actually a Ringo drum beat, but Sony called up and then said, "You've got to stop this right away." So that's what the problem was.
Ringo wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles. Paul McCartney was.
Is that true? Yeah. Didn't John make that joke?
It's more than a joke. When I was in Abbey Road watching them playing, and if it was a new tune, a new background, Paul would say, "This is how you do it, Ringo."
Yeah.
And sorry, he didn't say Ringo, he said Richie. And Paul would take over the drum kit and play it. And of course, Ringo looked appalled, but it was so much better. So he would tell him how to do it. So it was more than a joke. It was a dig.
Goodness.
What years were you in those out of interest as a Beatles fan? Can you remember what years, what albums you watched them in? That
I was
in,
with
in
them 66 to...
66, so Sergeant Pepper.
68, Sergeant
Pepper.
Yeah. Well,
Revolver was 60.
Back to Spurs.
Yeah, sorry, just
hold on, one more question. Was Paul an Everton fan, or is there any football fans amongst the Beatles?
This is a very good question. When I was doing the book all those decades ago, and I met all the parents... who were alive. That was Paul's dad, John's Aunt Mimi, who brought him up, George's mum and dad, and I actually tracked down Ringo's real father, who left when Ringo was a little boy. So I saw them all and got the whole story, and none of them came from football families. And I talked to all four Beatles and say, "When you were young lads, did you support a team?" And none of them went to football games. Because from the age of 13 and 14, they were playing in a group, the Quarrymen, and they were spending all their spare time. So, first of all, they didn't inherit the love for for a football team.
Sure.
Secondly, they were busy doing other things. And they didn't actually believe in sport. Or they didn't play football on the street. The most that any of them ever did, and I cross-examined them when they were lads, what they did, their activities. Were you in the Cubs? Were you in the Scouts, which they were? And only John had a regular sporting activity, apart from fucking, which was swimming. He went swimming.
Swimming and fucking, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the title of tonight's show. That's the title of the show when this goes out. Absolutely.
When it came to the Sergeant Pepper cover,
yeah.
And I saw the whole of the Sergeant Pepper album, and I saw Peter Blake arriving and all the people arriving. I knew it was in their mind. They wanted 50-odd legendary figures from the youth and the present day. So they had artists and composers and everything else. And I said to them, when I saw the lineup, you haven't got a footballer. Mm-hmm. There's not one footballer in all that. There are more writers than singers in the Sergeant Pepper cover. And they thought about it, and John said, what about Albert Stubbins? I said, why you thought Albert Stubbins? Did you ever see him play? No, but his name is funny. Yeah. Albert Stubbins was a household name when he was growing up. Played for Everton, I think, Liverpool as well. So Albert Stubbins is on the lineup, and it was thanks to me saying it. In recent years, I've seen Paul interviewed, and he said, oh, yes, I was always an Everton fan, and that's shite. What it must mean is, looking back, probably he had a very large family, and he had lots of aunties and cousins and everything else, and probably he was technically an Everton. He wasn't an Everton family like Wayne Rooney came from an Everton family, yeah. And it's true he slept in his Everton strip, his Everton pyjamas. But Paul probably did, if you think about it, Paul comes from an Irish Liverpool background, and that's almost brought up in your mother's milk. So probably he did think about him, but he never told me at the time. So it's a great shame that none of them were football fans.
Although there was a swimmer on the cover, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Johnny Weissmuller.
That's right, yeah.
Anyway, so that's
sorry,
it.
Sorry, but, sorry. Right, so
look, who doesn't want to hear about the Beatles? Beautiful. Just another quick promo. If you are going to Wembley and you want to get something to eat beforehand, we've got a deal with Bistro Deluxe Brasserie on Baker Street, which is very good. And if you mention the Spurs show, not only do you get a free pint, they're doing deals on three-course meals. Jump on the Bakerloo line through to Wembley if you don't want to eat the overpriced food at Wembley, which is exorbitant. Saturday, 5:30, quite annoying kickoff. 5:30 on a Saturday, we've got Swansea City at home. It's a given 3 points, isn't it, David?
Is it on BT Sport?
It's live on BT Sport.
BT Sport.
So I'd be interested how many people show up.
My biggest hatred.
Most of us.
I actually hate Sky because for the last two seasons they've upped the sound effects. So you can't. All you hear is the crowd noise, which drowns out the commentators. I mean, the commentators are banal and boring. I've got enough cliched thoughts about the game in my head. But you can't hear. But what BT Sport does on the 5:30 game, just after the second half starts, they flash up the scores on the games that have taken place, visually and audibly. And I go absolutely spam. I'm drinking my third glass of Beaujolais in the afternoon. And I go like this, and I can't do it. Because I go to bed at 5 to 10 and have
what,
done...
every night you go to bed at 5 to 10?
Every night. I'm going to bed tonight
really?
At 5 to 10.
Five
and
to
I've
10
always done that,
point.
Even when I was a young
really?
Lad. So I set the video for Match of the Day to watch it on Sunday morning. And I make a great effort to tell my children and my family and everyone, don't tell me the scores on no account, because I want to... watch Match of the Day and think, Everton got snuffed away.
It's like the Likely Lads episode,
isn't it? So BT Sports suddenly tells you all the scores. Now, if you're a real football fan, which you all are here, you know them, so why are they doing them? And if you're a weirdo like me who deliberately doesn't know them, I go Spurs. Honestly, shout and scream.
So if you're not at Wembley, you won't be watching. You won't watch it just as the beginning of the second half when the
it's live at 5:30.
Well, apparently, yeah. So it's live at 5:30. There we are.
Hold on. So what? When you go to will you be going on Wednesday? Will you go? What happens at night games? 5 to 10 comes around.
No, I don't
go
out in the evening. No, I don't go.
Oh, you won't. Right.
No, I don't go.
Really? We better get a move
first
on here.
It's quarter to ten now.
Well, let's look. He's going to get a bed. Just for this show, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll see you in a few days. Yeah. Come on, you Spurs.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spursshow.net.
The Spurs Show is backed for the season by Ladbrokes.
Give software vendor audits the red card by signing up the Livingstone Managed Service Team right away. Call 0203 817 4880 or visit livingstone-tech.com to find out how.
Sports Social Podcast Network.